You saying you want a piece of me?
I could drop you like a bag of dirt.
You want a piece of me? You got it!
The Sock Jig Sneaker Podcast. We'll read his tweets for 38 minutes. Welcome to episode 20 of the Sock Jig Sneaker Podcast. I'm your host, Sock Jig. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram as well, at Sock Jig. This podcast is about my history with a certain venture capital funded cook group that's been in the news recently. I'm not going to say them by name because, I don't know, fuck them, that's why. I usually record the intro at the very end after I've edited the whole podcast, so one thing I wanted to mention that I didn't mention probably in the core of the show is that I'm not bitter or jaded, no matter what you hear in this thing. For me, sneakers are always meant to be fun, and so my intent has never been to gatekeep or to get jaded. So as you're listening to this, try to keep that in mind, even though I said fuck 'em. But before that, I also wanted to say thank you to everybody who bought the socks that I dropped recently with the Judd Boys FNF. That was intended as a private collab. I'm not even sure if anyone's ever done a private collab before. Thank you to 4U Labs and everyone else in Judd Boys FNF. Those guys are good guys. That's why I wanted to do this. Most of the proceeds from the socks were donated to a member in the community who's been going through a really tough time. And those guys do a lot of that kind of stuff of charity drive and raising money for various things. So that's why I wanted to do it. And that was the real intent of that. If you missed out, I have new socks coming soon in a couple of weeks. So we'll get the podcast started. But first, I haven't done pickups or on feed in a while, so I wanted to talk about that first. On feed recently has been the Yeezy Foam Runner Mineral Blue. I really only undead socked those because I was invited to my first outdoor event in, 18 months or whatever it's been. It just went with my fit and the heat that we're going through. Thank you, Twitter, for not roasting my fit. I also have been wearing the Salehe, the orange Peace Be the Journey ones. I'll talk about some of the misses that I had, but I haven't got I missed out on the water Salehe one, so I've just been wearing these on short walks in the neighborhood. I probably wore the Air Max one Snow Beach as well. I think I posted a picture on Instagram as well. And mostly just various Prestos. Presto is my go-to summer sneaker. So I wore the Acronym ones, the Volt ones, some GR ones. Even busted out the CDG Presto tent that I don't know if anyone else even wears anymore other than myself. But I'm a big fan of those. Misses lately, like I said, there's been plenty of misses. I missed out on those Salehe Water Be the Guide. That was a kind of a wonky release. He's on his site. He dropped them early. I didn't have IG notifications on, so I totally missed. If you're 1 minute late, you're gonna miss, especially if he's dropping early. I missed out on the white Oreo 4s as well. And really all these sportswear dunks, I don't even try for those anymore because it's just whatever, another pastel one. You miss one, you miss them all, who cares? I missed out on the ICA Lemonade AF ones, the off-white ones. I knew that shock drop was happening before, I'm pretty sure everyone did at that point. And I was out the night before, so I was like, it's the drop is 7 a.m. on the West Coast, so I was like, I'm not going to wake up for these. And then what happened is I ended up waking up anyways. So then I'm up about 10 minutes before the drop. I haven't updated my phones. I haven't spoofed them because I've had, I got a new phone ever since last time I needed to spoof. And I didn't want to go scramble and rush. So I figured I'd just going to watch on Twitter and see how the drop goes. And it went pretty well if you knew who had a spoof. So a whole bunch of people in the group chat were able to hit. So I was glad people were able to at least get those. Pickups, I haven't done pickups on the podcast in a while, so there's probably plenty. I got the Paperboy 992 New Balance, neutral gray low Jordan 1s. It's been a while now, but I got the two big drops that happened, the Bodega 990 V3 and the Undefeated Air Force 1 and the Dunk. I actually don't have those in hand yet. They're still shipped to the U.S. I got the Fear of God California Mule Slide. I'm excited to get those in hand. I don't have those in hand yet either. I was able to pick up the LeBron 8 South Beach. Those dropped at the same time as the Lemonade Off-Whites. So I was able to get those because they dropped early in Canada. And I did get both Union 4s. I was intending on telling the story of the Union 4s today, but I will probably save it for next time. And I will talk about how I got those. All right. Let me talk about my history with a group that I won't mention by name, so I'll just call them the Sneaker Buying Country Club and their co-founder. Since basically all bad publicity is good publicity for them, that's why I don't want to mention them by name. I'm talking about the Cook Group that got funding recently by that Vibe Capitalist. It's a group that I helped out initially, and how it ended recently with them blocking me. So I even delayed recording of this episode just so I could cool off a bit, so I wouldn't come off as a giant rant. You know, giant rant might be more entertaining, but really, I just gotta stay true to myself here, and I'm not really a rant guy, so there might be some edge, but I tried to smooth off most of the edges. But first, I want to go back to how it all started, way back in 2017 or so. So the co-founder of that Sneaker Buying Country Club also started Kicks Deals, and around 2017 or so had started the Canadian version of that called Kicks Deals CA. And it was an affiliate account, you know, there was links and stuff, but it had more personality back then. He would talk more about what's coming up and, you know, would respond to people. It wasn't just straight up links. So that co-founder, he lives in Vancouver. So I had known him a bit through circles around here. You know, not very well. I've never hung out with him or anything like that, but just random chats about random sneakers that would come out. So why I go back to 2017 is because that was when the Air Jordan 1 Royal drop happened. And Nike CA, who this co-founder has a plug with, was supposed to drop like thousands of Air Jordan 1 Royals, the 2017 ones. So much so that he had plugged it as a legendary drop. I think it was 5,000 pairs. He had told me the stock number, but I honestly can't remember. But it was normally for Nike CA, they would drop 100 pairs, was like a good drop, sometimes like 30 pairs. But this time it was going to be astronomical at 5,000 pairs. So all these drops are at 12 a.m. midnight PST, which is 3 a.m. EST, because Nike CA is operated out of Nike Europe. And so that's when it's 8 a.m. for them. So that's when they usually drop. But what happened was that drop was a disaster. You couldn't cart anything. It was just spinning. And then eventually the drop was pulled. And it basically just said sold out. And it seemed like they had maybe sold a few of them, but most of them did not get sold at all. So it went from 5,000 pairs being told 5,000 pairs are dropping to now having egg on his face because hardly anyone got a pair. Why I mention that is because that is probably the first day that this country club was founded. Because he basically said, fuck this. Why am I giving this info for free? Why am I dealing with people yelling at me when I had nothing to do with the drop being pulled or people not being able to buy them? I was told this is what was going to happen, but then that didn't happen. And if I'm going to give this information out, I might as well send it to paying members. So following that drop, you know, probably late 2017, maybe early 2018, is when they started this country club. I had nothing to do with that. That was all them. You know, I would discuss things with him about the how is it going and things like that, but I had absolutely nothing to do with any of the co-founding or anything like that. But he basically told me that he was having a hard time finding a monitor, and he was looking for someone who was able to provide a monitor. Now, if you go back to 2018 version of Sneaker Twitter and stuff like that, there was not like how it is now where there's Cook groups everywhere. There was hardly any publicly available monitors available that you could just subscribe to like there are now with Zephyr and so many others. Really, there was just like a handful of groups that had monitors at the time that had some sort of service. There's like Soul Heat on Feet, Gige, probably like Shoeplex and Notify, and you know, excuse me if I'm forgetting a few others, but I know there are some original ones that had monitors. But the issue there is these are all resellers with monitors. You know, some of them are full-on cook groups, some of them just provide a monthly monitor, but they're all on the resell side of the aisle. And honestly, that's something I do, is I bridge those two worlds. I know people from both sides of the aisle. I knew someone who did provide that and wasn't on that resell side of the aisle, that who could provide a monitor. So I said, hey, let me talk to someone, maybe we can work something out. And I basically introduced the two. They talked, they had a deal, that was it. I was completely out of it other than that. So because of that connection, that introduction that I made, the country club now had a working monitor. And if you have a working monitor, you actually have something for a beta launch. You know, whatever they did on the other side of creating a branding, a logo and stuff, I'm sure they did all that work as well. I had nothing to do with that. I just had it. The introduction is my part in their creation. So they were ready for a beta launch, and he even said, I'll get you a login, but I'm dumb. I said, forget that. I'll sign up and pay for it. And back then it was like this early reduced rate if you signed up for that early beta. My thought process was, it's good to support friends and their businesses. So just to repeat, I did not co-found that company. I did not work with them hand in hand or anything. I helped them make a networking connection and they were able to launch. So without me, I don't know when they launch. Honestly, a lot of this stuff, I wouldn't even publicly talk about it if they didn't end up blocking me. That's the only reason I'm even saying this part. But we'll get to that part. So for a year or so, the service is solid. I recommend it on podcasts I appear on. I talk about a tweet about it once in a while if it comes up. I thought it was a good idea where there's more non-resellers than there are resellers. So why don't you market a monitor to them and make it easier for an average Joe to buy a sneaker? That was the pitch at the time. So they were always a small operation early in that 2018, early 2019 time, maybe a couple of employees. Then the operation started expanding into sneaker articles and podcasts and things like that. You know, the goal being to funnel all those people into this paid membership service. Even early on, they offered me $50. He offered me $50 to write an article for the site. I never did, but eventually I went on their podcast and basically gave the list I would have written as an article on the podcast for free. So eventually they start growing. They start creating more and more Slacks because they cap it off at 1,000. You know, as the service grows, the monitors need to be maintained. And at some point, they do swap out those original monitors with, I think even Zephyr as a monitor, or maybe someone else. So as their membership is growing, they're making money. They're on some startup incubator program, you know, with the goal of getting venture capital funding. And, you know, at the time of their founding, their mantra was always about anti-resell. Let's focus on everyone else. But somewhere along the way, the vision became about how StockX is the cause of everything wrong with the sneaker game and how StockX is evil, probably because StockX has made everyone a reseller and is ruining it for everyone. Honestly, I think most average country club member doesn't even care about that stance. They just want hype sneakers. You know, you pay a monthly country club fee. That means you're entitled to them. That doesn't mean you're a better golfer. But their leader now firmly hates StockX. But of course makes no mention of eBay, which has been setting market price for decades now. The only difference between eBay and StockX is one listing. StockX has one listing. Obviously there's more differences, but that is the main difference. If you search for Jordan 1 on eBay, there's thousands of listings. If you search for those 2017 Royal 1s on StockX, there's one listing. But most likely this is the pitch that worked in this incubator venture capital program. So as I mentioned, I would talk with the co-founder all the time, you know, just about random, whatever sneaker is dropping, is it going to resell, that kind of stuff, just like how I talk on Twitter. But around this time is when he just stopped responding to me for days or weeks. You know, I figured he's busy in VC pitches and, you know, he's growing the company. Who cares? We're just talking about random Jordan retros or whatever anyways. You know, my Twitter account in the meantime has gained a following. I'm dropping socks. And maybe it's because my account talks about resale and things like that. That is why we talk less and less frequently, but I don't know. And then when we would talk, it was usually because he needed something. I think at one point last year, they were looking to replace their monitor again and asked me if I knew someone else. You know, whoever's providing their monitors now, I would just probably rip up that contract and charge 10 times more. What are they going to do? They're not going to say no. It's not easy for them to find a replacement. And they got $12.5 million in funding. In terms of support, around this time is when I'm dropping socks. He bought one pair at the discount price. I can say he bought a pair because he didn't buy it from my site, which everything on my site has a privacy policy, so I wouldn't talk about who bought it from my site. I remember telling him I'm releasing 50 pairs, and he says that's a lot. I should probably adjust my expectations. So, you know, that's the support I got from him. And that he had recently sold 70 face masks to their thousands of members. And I just said, I gotta believe it. But really, I'm kind of pissed because I'm dropping this kind of tongue-in-cheek fun project. You know, Sock Jig is my name. It's a sock that says Sock Jig. Ha ha, I think it'll be a big hit. And he compared it to some dog shit face masks that some company is printing with their logo on it. But also, to be fair, we did do some group buys in his group for my socks, and members did buy them, and I appreciate that. And if they're going to bring that back and throw that in my face, it's like, even if I had all those back, I could sell those socks without those group buys. So, you know, eventually we're not talking at all. Nothing really happened. There's no blow off or anything. And like I said, when a friend has a business, you support it. And say that you have a business and there's parts of it you like and parts you don't like. You say, hey, check out my friend's business. This is the part that I like. And you don't mention the other part. So if we're not friends, I don't have to cover for the part that I don't like. And I can say what I want. And that's basically what I do on Twitter. That's the freedom I have where I can say exactly what I want. And because there are no consequences, because I am this completely independent of everyone. So on episode 10 of this podcast, I basically have a nuanced takedown of their service. You know, I even compare the moderating of the behavior that happens there to a prison design. You know, I could have said George Orwell's 1984, you got nothing to hide. If you have nothing to fear, just cooperate and obey. As long as you're not reselling, trust me, we are watching. You know, is that from them or is that from 1984? And it's fair to say, maybe I shouldn't have said that because it is someone I know. But really, you can listen back to that episode and judge for yourself if I was fair or not. So in June or so, it's announced that they got another round of funding of $12.5 million of funding. And the usual sneaker Twitter cycle repeats again. The sneaker Twitter reseller types are like, holy shit, a cook group got this much money. You know, there's jokes. The people who are in the group and in the service are retweeting it and amplifying it as well. The thing I responded to was that Vibe Capitalist dude had announced his investment in the company in this truly awful video where he's pretending that he cares about community over market price, just completely lying to you. And I had said, I don't believe a word of this. This guy is full of shit. And that guy deserved it. He was fucking full of shit. And now some Vibe Capitalist guy is talking to me about sneaker culture, who was probably wearing like dirty Golden Goose sneakers, doesn't know anything. And he's talking down to me how he's going to save the culture, that he is the one with the answer because he's giving these groups funding. And I just thought it was a bunch of bullshit. And, you know, I said, I think I even tweeted, to be clear, it's fine to build a sneaker company and saying, hey, we're doing something different over here from the usual chaos of sneakers. Come join us. We're a great community. You know, who's going to be mad at that? No one's going to be mad at that. But when you say all these guys are evil, and if you're against us, you don't know what you're doing. You're part of the problem. We are the true saviors. Come join us. That's the bullshit that sounds like a cult. Honestly, I don't think they're really a cult, But really, it's just marketing bullshit that you know will work on an average consumer at who that they are targeting. So maybe it's gotten to the point where they repeated it so much they actually believe it and they've kind of indoctrinated themselves. Who knows? I remember someone tagged their wear testers guy and that guy replied, "Hey, I have no problem with them." Well, that guy is also getting paid by them. On his YouTube, he's got affiliate links and probably gets paid a portion of those he refers to them. So whatever he's got to say about it doesn't mean anything to me. If anything, what's actually funny is the wear testers dude reviewed the Country Club shoe, the custom shoe that they had made, and compared it to Heaven's Gate Cult. So I talked some shit about their vibe capitalist dude, who deserved it. But I'm still in the group. I'm kind of lurking there. Mostly I just use it to talk to the people I know. You know, I don't need a monitor. I don't have notifications on for any monitor, really. Then about a week later, this article is published by Avi Zalon, I think his name is. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing your last name, Avi. And he writes an article saying, "Is the paid sneaker community soul savvy worth it?" And he's a former member who has left, so he's written an article. It's got way more edge and way less nuance than I did in my podcast episode, and it's got screenshots from Slack. The article goes through the pros and cons. The pros, he says, I think are a good marketplace. For the cons, he says, you know, you have to be online a lot, and it's still hard to cop manually these days, which we all know. And those are the same things I had said in my podcast episode as well. But then he also talks about how they like to blame StockX and not Nike, and he discloses that the other co-founder has family that works in Nike here in Canada, which I knew about, but I never said it because that other co-founder, I got nothing against him. He's a nice guy. The article also talks about this, how they have this, if you're not with us, you're against us mentality. And if you disagree, you're silenced. And how the founder wants, and his take is, he's saying how the founder wants everyone to kind of fall in line behind him against StockX. So I retweet this article. And 10 minutes later, I get an email saying, "Your automatic payments to the Country Club have been stopped." Honestly, I was kind of expecting getting kicked out of their group after my episode 10 podcast. But over a retweet, I just laughed. You know, if it had ended there, I probably wouldn't have said anything. I wouldn't be doing this podcast. But then I checked Twitter and I saw that I was blocked on the Country Club Twitter account and on the co-founder's personal account as well. And I just shook my head. I thought it was pathetic, really. You know, kick me for the service, sure. I've talked shit about it. You don't want me there, kick me. I'm fine with that. I don't even need a monitor. But the block, that was pathetic. Even though I helped them cross that aisle between the squeaky clean company and this resale netherworld and helped you get started, you know, helped you cross that aisle, and this is how it ends, getting banned and kicked over a retweet, you know, things that I didn't even say, that wasn't even my writing or article. Who knows how long it takes you to, you know, get started without my help. Maybe it's a week, maybe it's months, maybe it's not till summer of 2019 when Zephyr publicly launches, you know, whatever, sliding doors. Either way, they can count up the revenue from those early beta days all the way till these monitors were publicly available in, you know, summer 2019. And I played a part in every single one of those since. And really, it's fine to have a company with a point of view. If you're going to have a point of view, then it's fine for others to fairly criticize it. Even unfairly criticize it. You can respond, ignore, or block. They chose to block over a retweet. Again, something I did not write. You know, people always put those retweets are not endorsements in their Twitter bio. The journalists do this all the time. It's like, do I have to do that shit here? It really, all the criticism that I had is true. And their service is also solid. Both can be true at the same time, as my friend Brenda told me. You know, that article said that it's not a place for open exchange of ideas and criticisms. And they showed that by blocking me literally 10 minutes after I retweeted it. It's like if you were a boss and you wanted to fire an employee and you say, "Hey, listen, Kenny, I'm sorry, we're going to have to let you go. You know, Kenny asks, you know, why? Well, Kenny, you can't keep your cool and you have anger issues. And then Kenny responds by flipping out and trashing the office, basically proving the very thing that you were saying to him. And their response was exactly that, proving the very thing that that article said, that it's not a place where you can openly criticize them. Maybe you can't even retweet stuff about them. And this is the bullshit that's gonna save sneaker culture? Give me a fucking break. Next thing you know, they'll have red hats that say make sneakers great again. You know, when it was announced they got funding and people in resale community made jokes and went after them. A lot of it is stuff like, you know, it's just a cook group, they're reselling info. Your paying membership means it's not for retail, really. If you go back and look at what I said, I did not say any of that kind of stuff. Because I've always said, the game is the game. If you provide value to people, then you have a viable business. So when random resellers and stuff say that, they can sweep that all up as these are haters and use that as like marketing fuel that they're on the right path. But really, they can try that and do that with me, but I never said any of that stuff. Sure, I may have liked tweets or retweeted tweets, but that does not mean I said those things. Everything I've ever said is out there. No one can throw anything in my face because it's either the truth or it's my opinion. And when I post my opinion out here, feel free to find any flaws in it if you want. So they've blocked me, even though I helped them start their beta. Even though I think their VC pitch of trying to save sneaker culture is complete bullshit. How can you save something you don't own? No company owns sneaker culture. So that was when I tweeted that I was blocked. And that was the first time I disclosed that I helped them start out. I think I made a meme using 1984 book cover poster and plastered the logo on it. I even said, if I referred you to this country club, my apologies. I'm not responsible for what they've become. Feel free to let them know. They got a good support staff. I thought I was helping a friend, as I would any friend, but I guess I got big timed. Honestly, I could make memes and jokes about this all day, even now. But I mostly stopped because people I know that work there, I still consider my friends. I stopped because of them. I don't want someone there to get fired because the co-founder knows that they are my friend. And I'm out here talking shit about them every single day. You know, I don't think that would actually happen. But then again, I'm not the one calling the shots over there. So I tried to take the high road. I figured I'd save it for this podcast. You know, I did get a lot of response from people within the, you know, Twitter community and from members that disagreed with me being blocked. You know, and I appreciate all the outpouring of support I did get from people. You know, people sent me screenshots of things that were being said in there. I did not solicit or ask for that kind of stuff. If someone doesn't want me around, I'm not going to go look for info or ask why. I think a few things were said by the co-founder. I think one of them said, you know, he can't steal sneaker insight from us anymore, which is hilarious. Or the other one was, I could have texted him. But over what? Over a retweet? I'm the one who got kicked first. Why would I text someone I don't talk to who's not my friend? Anyways, I heard all those got deleted. They were probably thinking that someone would send them to me and I would tweet it out, which I never did. You know, people, like I said, people did reach out and they were unhappy with how it was handled. You know, if you back me up, like I said, I appreciate you. I thank you. Some people told me that they're going to quit. And like I said, I could have tweeted that kind of stuff all day. Look at people are threatening to quit because of me. But really, I don't think a lot of people will. If it's your community and you get something out of it and, you know, my criticism doesn't matter to you, then great, go ahead. But then I heard people were there also trying to dox me. You know, if you're actively trying to dox someone, just look at yourself in the mirror and ask what you've become. You know, entire communities get erased for doing that kind of stuff. So I said I wouldn't say that much, and I kept it mostly quiet. And then this story broke about PacSun partnering with a consignment shop to sell shoes on their site at, you know, consignment prices. And a little side note on that, this is all very similar to the American Eagle Urban Necessities deal. That was in-store in New York. This is online. You know, from what I heard, from PacSun's perspective, it's about customer experience. If someone is looking for a fit and Hyper Royal Jordan 1s fits that fit, then PacSun can say you can get this all in one spot. which makes sense. But, you know, I don't know how many people are actually doing that, but that was the pitch and they rolled with it. But it was a topic of the day on Twitter. I guess the co-founder said something about it and was, you know, using it as that this is, you know, the evil resale economy. I don't know. I'm blocked, so I didn't see. But on my timeline, I saw a whole bunch of people complaining about the country club again. So then I had a thought. Then I tweeted out. I said, you know, if this country club wants to build a women's community that's safe and about inclusivity and diversity, but when there's any criticism about them, they block and deny everything to protect their image. The point was, how can they go out and pitch being inclusive and diverse for women when, you know, silencing critics is their MO? What if someone has an issue with harassment and they bring it up and it's not handled how that person likes it? Is that member going to be blocked and kicked and silenced, or will they be heard and actions taken? I can only go by the actions that I went through. That's why I was tweeting this. You know, believe what people do, not what they say, right? Actions speak way louder than what anyone says in a Hypebeast interview. So this guy from the Canadian version of the Slack I was in, a member of this country club, replies to this tweet and says, "You mad, bro." And then follows it up with, "Me trying to take them down proves that they're making a difference. They should use my tweet in their ads." First off, he completely ignored my point. And, you know, I'm still not sure which tweet they would use, my tweet of mine they would use in their ads. Would they use the one that he was replying to here? So, "You mad bro," you know, made me angry. He trolled me first. So I had to cyberbully him back. I basically said to him, "Your opinion is trash. It's always been trash. No one cares what you have to say. No one has the guts to say it. You know, I guess that means I made it personal." And he actually responded with, "Wow, classy." So if you're in my mentions with "you mad bro," then you can't clutch your pearls when I respond. You know, maybe you shouldn't have been talking all that shit.
You shouldn't have been talking shit.
Anyways, it got to the point where I think people were texting me to stop that I had bullied him too much. I heard the next day that people in that Slack group were mad at me because of this. Maybe they missed the part where he trolled me, and they just saw the part where he got bullied. But it's like, you know, if a burglar comes into your house and you beat the shit out of the burglar, then the burglar's friends are mad at you for beating him up. Well, don't be a fucking burglar. Anyways, they all got riled up. I think one guy said I'm racist. Jeez, like, how can a brown man be racist against another brown man? I heard later that there was talks about doxing me again. What's funny is a lot of the people that were mad at me previously had bought socks from me, so there's a privacy policy on my site. I can't talk about who bought socks. I could show side-by-side screenshots that I got of people talking shit about me and their receipt. So I could have sent those tweets. I didn't, but I have them. So call me a clown all you want. That doesn't mean much to me coming from a circus tent of bootlickers. You know, stop paying your monthly country club fee and then tell me how much the boot you're licking cares about you. But I get it. You know, stand by your friends, stand by your community. You're free to reply to any criticism I have of the country club or this podcast. But if you troll me, then those are the rules of engagement. So prepare to get wrecked. And if you bought socks from me and don't like me anymore, all I can say is thanks for the support. Sorry it didn't work out. I still appreciate it. Maybe one day you'll change your mind. Let me take a small tangent here about some other hate that I got. I made a tweet recently about how Nike's only bothering to explain early access because of the Ann Hebert incident and the bad press that they got. And that is also why they changed everything to a draw. You know, the point of it was Nike is reacting to the bad press, and that's why you're seeing articles like this. So this guy quote tweets it and says, you know, "Nike's not doing anything because of one incident," and accused me of clout chasing and that my takes are bad. But I know this guy. He's a sneaker warehouse in Oregon type of guy. You know, buys up lots of pairs, probably sells them to China. Take advantage of the no tax thing. You live close to Nike, maybe get them under retail. But the other thing I know is he's supposedly friends with Joe Hebert. So that's the real reason why he's mad at me, because I mentioned his friend's mommy. So we had some Twitter back and forth. That's fine. I can handle that. I only kept going because he chose to make comments about my life when he knows nothing about me. Like I said, these people who fold cardboard all day, they ain't got shit to say to me. I don't care how much money you make. So anyone can fairly criticize me or my takes all they want. Make it personal and you'll get a response. You know, I might not take shots about your life or flex wealth, because that's the shit you do when you have no sense of humor. Wait a second, is that a personal shot? But really, there's no heat there. He was just standing up for a friend and got mad at me because I mentioned his friend's mom in a generic tweet about bad press. Then some of his other bozo friends chimed in. But do I care if Joe West's friends are mad at me? No, fuck those guys. Okay, back from the tangent, and just to wrap this all up. You know, maybe I shouldn't be putting all my business out here like this, and that's a fair criticism. Even here, I tried to be fair and not take cheap shots. I probably failed a few occasions, I'm not perfect. But really, it's the truth, and if it's your truth, you own it. And they can't weaponize it against you. Only you can weaponize the truth. You know, they or their members can try to spread lies about me. I'm not going to let some bootlickers weaponize mistruths about me. And really, at the end of the day, I'm not trying to end them or anything. There's no vendetta on my part. You know, if destruction be their lot, they themselves will be its author and finisher, to quote Abraham Lincoln there. I've spoken about it here. I probably won't speak it again. And I could point to this episode if anyone cares to hear the truth. But I can change my mind because it's my truth to weaponize if I please. I can like or retweet whatever I want. Why did they block me? I really don't know. Usually the answer is insecurity, but you'll have to ask them. As my friend Lex on Twitter said to me, fuck 'em. That's exactly it. Fuck 'em. You know, and a friend said to me about after all this happened, who cares if they're hypocrites? The whole sneaker scene is full of hypocrites. And it's true, you know, there's money jigs and raffles going on. Add this country club to the list and we move on. Maybe they were meant to become hypocrites this whole time. I'm sure they'll get more rounds of funding and this news cycle will repeat. I'm sure they feel very validated because they got 12.5 million. Because they got members and they got funding from Vibe capitalists. But, you know, what's the measure of success in life? Are you a success in life because you treat people well and you support your friends? Or are you a success in life because you got venture capitalist funding? Does venture capital funding validate every bullshit opinion you have? To the money people, maybe it does. To the rest of us, it does not. Beware what you become. For when you gaze long into the abyss of vibe capitalists, the vibe capitalist gazes also into you. And as that idiot said, toxic beauty is all around us. This has been episode 20 of the Sock Jig Sneaker Podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. I know I'm supposed to try out new sign-offs, but I think last week's applies so well this time. So go fuck yourself.